Morning, church. It is so good to see y'all this morning. And let me back up a little bit. Y'all look good in that red. I don't have a lot of red in my wardrobe. Y'all see it all right now. But this morning we're gonna continue. Let me stand over here, back up. They're going to fix it. This morning, we're going to continue our discussion on family. And I'll tell y'all this before I get started. I'm a husband, and I've got three daughters. So brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and guests, I walk humbly in this life. So I'll preach some today. But I'm gonna talk a lot, because it's easy to talk to the brothers. I've got a wealth of background talking with our brothers. We have a men's retreat every year, and we know that iron sharpens iron. But today we're not talking specifically to the brothers. Today the message is for our sisters, and it's a little bit different. This morning, I want to encourage you. And sisters, I also want to warn you a little bit with the story that you find about in the Bible about Lois and Eunice. Lois and Eunice, there's not a lot of words in the scriptures about them. But when you put their story in the context of the New Testament history and what was going on in the early church, there are some things that come out of that story that speak specifically to the sisters of this generation and speak to all of us. Book of 2 Timothy, the chapter is 1 and the verse is 5. If you go to the next slide, 2 Timothy, the chapter is 1 and the verse is 5. The New International Translation of the Bible says, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and am persuaded lives now in you." That's how Paul opens this letter to Timothy. But I ask you, how many of our faith stories, the story of faith in our lives, started with my mother or my grandmother? Mine did. My faith story started like that. My faith story started something like this. When I was 9 or 10 years old, our family didn't go to church at all. But my mother decided that her kids were going to go to church somewhere. And so she started looking for a church home for us to go to. That's the beginning of my faith story. Now, don't get me wrong. I'll never stop teaching male spiritual leadership in the home, because that's the Bible model. I'll never stop challenging our brothers to step forward and accept the responsibility to be the leader in the home. I'll never stop doing that, because that's the Bible model. But if I want to be true to my culture and speak to my people, I don't know what it's like in New York and what the culture is like up there. I don't know the West Coast in California and what the culture is over there. But I know the South. And I know my people. And if I don't talk to Big Mama, if I don't talk to grandma, granny, grandmother, if I don't talk to mama and godmother, if I don't talk to auntie, if I don't talk to those sisters in the pews who influence the life or the faith life of people, then I haven't talked to my culture yet, because so many of our stories started with faithful women. And so did Timothy's. So did Timothy's. See, Timothy was blessed to be raised by a grandmother, Lois, and a mother, Eunice, that the Bible says had a sincere faith. And when we talk about a sincere faith, that's a non-hypocritical, non-fake faith. It's a genuine faith. It's a faith that how you talk on Sunday is the same way that you live on Monday. It's a faith that it doesn't matter who's around, you talk and you live the same way, whether you're around God's people or you're around other people. That's a sincere faith. And a sincere faith, Paul saw it in Lois and in Eunice. And you know, kids can see a sincere faith in their parents. They can see a sincere faith in their mama. See, kids watch parents. And in particular, they watch mama close. They watch, and they see how you talk and then how you live. They're listening when you don't know they're listening. They're watching when you don't know they're watching. See, kids watch mama so close, they emulate her speech patterns, her word choice, her mannerisms. Kids take on, when they're young, take on their mother's viewpoints. If you really want to know what somebody think about the church and they got some little kids in the house, just go ask the little kids. Because the little kids are going to talk with what they hear at home, what they heard mama say, that's what they're going to say. Because they watch and they listen so closely. And these sisters have to be commended because Lois had a sincere faith that a ripple effect. It came down to Eunice, and that ripple effect came down from Eunice and came down to Timothy. You have to commend those sisters for the being able to transfer their faith through generations. Three generations of faith, what sisters can do, amen. And I know they trusted God's word. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 14 and 15. I know they trusted God's word because of what they did with the book. I'm at 2 Timothy. I'm at chapter 3. I'm at verse 14. I'm reading NIV today. Bible says, "But as for you," this is Paul again encouraging Timothy, this time encouraging him to hold on to what he learned when he was little. "But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those whom you learned it, and how from infancy you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." These sisters took the Bible with Timothy and when he was in his infancy, in his earliest days, and they started teaching him the book. Now, what they had was the Old Testament because they're Jewish. They're Jewish. And they're teaching Timothy the Old Testament law. If you're reading ESV, it'll call them the sacred writings. And so from the earliest of age, he knew the sacred writings. He was taught the sacred writings. That means that Timothy knew where he came from. He knew Adam and Eve and that's where mankind started. He knew the story of Noah. He knew about the great flood because from the earliest of ages, his mama and grandmama taught him the book. He knew about Abraham. He knew about Abraham and he knew about circumcision, how people who traced their lineage back through Abraham on the eighth day, the males on the eighth day of life, they were circumcised. He knew about Sarah. He knew about Isaac. He knew about Moses, and he knew about the law of Moses because his mama and his grandmama taught him the book. He knew why his mama taught him the book, because in Deuteronomy chapter 6, the Bible says it like this, talking about the commandments, "These commandments that I give you," Deuteronomy 6 and verse 7, "These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up." He knew that God's people were a special people to God, that the Jewish people were a special people to God, and they were set aside for God. They had a special law, a special way of eating. And they didn't intermarry. They stayed to themselves.
Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 3, do not intermarry with them, talking about the Gentiles. Do not give your daughters to their sons or take their daughters for your sons. They were a set apart people, and Timothy knew that he had some of that blood in him. You know, when you look at those sisters and what they did with their faith and what they did in teaching Timothy from the earliest age, the scriptures, the sacred writings, can you just imagine them sitting by the lantern at night and teaching Timothy the book? You gotta salute those sisters. You gotta salute them. And if it wasn't for one small thing, I'd stop right here and give the invitation. But there's one small kind of nagging thing. One small kind of nagging thing. And maybe it's just the man in me. Maybe it's the fact that we know that the Bible pattern is male spiritual leadership in the home. But one little nagging thing that's there is, where daddy? Where is he? Let's search the scriptures for him. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, which first started in your grandmother Lois and then your mother Eunice, and I'm persuaded now lives in you. No, daddy. In context, you get down to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 and 15, and they're talking about how from the earliest of childhood they taught him the scriptures. If you want to find daddy, the only other place you can look and you find Timothy and his family, you have to go to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, and put your finger on verse 1. Acts chapter 16, and put your finger on verse 1. Next slide, brothers. What I want to do before I go through Acts 16 and verse 1 through 4, I need to set what's going on in the context of the New Testament church. And when we set Acts 16 in the context of the New Testament church and the growth of the church, we've got something to talk about. So hold your finger at Acts 16 and 1, but flip your Bible back to Acts 14 and verse 19. Acts 14 and verse 19. We're going to come to daddy in just a minute. But first, let's set the context of what was happening in Acts 16. See, the city is Lystra. It's about AD 52. The city is Lystra. It's about AD 52. Paul has set up a shop in a city called Antioch. He's doing what they call missionary journeys, and he started those. So what Paul's purpose is he goes out into areas where the gospel has not made it to, particularly trying to baptize Gentiles, but also Jews. He's on these missionary journeys, and one of the cities he goes to on his first missionary journey is a city called Lystra. That's Timothy and Lois and Eunice, his hometown. On his first trip, they're having great success, and they're preaching and teaching. They baptize in Jews and Greeks. They get into Lystra, and they perform a miracle. A man can't walk, and they heal him. But then some Jewish folks who don't believe show up in Lystra, and watch what happens on his first trip into Lystra. I'm at Acts chapter 14. I'm at verse 19. The Bible says, then some Jews came from Antioch and Iconium. They followed him down to Lystra and won the crowd over, and they stoned Paul and dragged him outside of the city, thinking that he was dead. Missionary journeys were dangerous. They stoned him and they left him for dead. Bible goes on. But after the disciples had gathered around him, he got up and went back into the city. And the next day, he and Barnabas left for Derbe. Verse 21. They preached the gospel in that city, that's Derbe, and won a large number of disciples. Then they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the disciples and encouraging them to remain true to the faith. We must go through many hardships to enter the kingdom of God, they said.
Paul and Barnabas appointed elders for them in each church, and with prayer and fasting committed them to the Lord. On his first trip through Lystra, they had some success. They baptized some folk, but he also got stoned. They set up the congregation in Lystra. Most scholars will tell you that that's likely the time when Lois and Eunice went from being Jews to being Christians. First time that the gospel had reached Lystra. Let me tell you what's going on in the larger church. That's chapter 15. I shared with you a few weeks ago how there was this teaching going around the brotherhood at that time that in order to be saved, a person not only needed to Jesus and be baptized, but they also were trying to teach, some Jews were trying to teach that you also had to be circumcised, and that was a problem. Acts 15, this problem is coming to a head in the church. Acts 15, what's going on in the church? Verse 1, certain people, he's back in Antioch in home base. Certain people came down from Judea to Antioch and were teaching the believers, unless you're circumcised according to the customs taught by Moses, you cannot be saved. Thus, Paul and Barnabas came into sharp dispute and debate with them. So Paul and Barnabas were appointed along with some other believers to go up to Jerusalem with the apostles and the elders. So here's what happens. They get into this dispute in Antioch, and Paul and Barnabas are asked to go up to Jerusalem and talk to the rest of the elders and the apostles, and to make a decision and come to an understanding what's going on. Do we need to circumcise these Gentiles? They get there in chapter 6. They start having a meeting with all of the apostles and all of the elders, and they come to the conclusion that let's write a letter. But Peter stands up and Peter says, I baptized the first Gentiles. And I was there when the Holy Spirit descended on them, so I knew that it was okay for me to preach the gospel to them and baptize them. Paul and Barnabas told them about their work and how they were baptizing Gentiles and how they were performing miracles among the Gentiles, showing that it was okay for them to be baptized. And then James stands up, and James goes to the book, and he goes into the book of Amos and shares with them that God always planned to save the Gentiles. And so they write the Gentiles a letter. We're almost there, y'all. We're almost there. This is Acts 15, verse 23. The apostles and elders write a letter that Paul can put in his hands and go share with the Gentile churches. Acts 15, verse 23. With them, they sent the following letter. The apostles and elders, your brothers, Acts 15, verse 23. To the Gentile believers in Antioch, Syria, and Cilicia, greetings. We have heard that some went out from us without authorization and disturbed you, troubling your minds by what they said. So we all agreed to choose some men and send them to you with our dear friends Barnabas and Paul, men who have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are sending Judas and Silas to confirm by word of mouth what we're writing. Here's what they wrote. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit for us not to burden you with anything beyond the following requirements. You are to abstain from food sacrificed to idols, from blood, from the meat of strangled animals, and from sexual immorality. You will do well to avoid these things. Farewell. See, what they did is they made it clear that they don't have to, that the Gentiles do not have to be circumcised. But you got to know that if you're going to get along with the Jews, your Jewish brothers, there are some things that have been taught to them for hundreds of years, and it ain't going to work out too good socially if you do these things. So you got to stop these things. But you do not need to be circumcised, and you do not need to follow all the Old Testament requirements. So when we come to Acts 16, where we find Daddy, here's what's going on. One, you got to know the first time Paul was in Lystra, he got stoned, but he set the congregation up. Second thing you got to know, that there is this budding problem in the church about how Jews and Greeks relate. And this is a new problem they're dealing with because it's growing. The Gentiles are growing in numbers in the church. And the third thing you need to know is he's got this letter in his hand. Y'all at Acts 16? I'm at verse 1. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra. This is the second missionary journey, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish. We know that. Her name was Eunice. And a believer, but whose father was Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along with him on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in that area, for all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decisions reached by the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So they're going through with this letter. But here's the thing I just kind of need to point out. Sister Eunice was of Jewish heritage. She grew up a Jew. It's about AD 52. How old do you think Timothy would be? Well, Timothy has to be old enough for Paul to want to take him on a journey that he knows is dangerous. Timothy has to be old enough to be helpful in the ministry. And Timothy has to be old enough for his parents to let him go on a journey that they know is danger enough to get stoned. Most scholars will tell you that Timothy had to be at least a teenager. Had to be at least a teenager. So how did Sister Eunice, in AD 52, have a teenage boy by a Greek man? Let me say it differently. In Acts chapter 14, the gospel showed up in Lystra. In Acts chapter 16, Sister Eunice has a teenage boy by a Greek husband. Now, I know y'all have all done that thing when somebody was born and you started counting back on your fingers and toes and you started realizing that it's cutting it kind of close, y'all. But listen. I'm an optimist. But it certainly looks like Sister Eunice, while she was living under the Old Testament law, married a man that she shouldn't have. It doesn't have to be that way, but it sure answers a lot of questions. It answers the question, why is it that Timothy's faith heritage started with Lois, came down through Eunice, and then to him? It answers the question, why is it that it was Lois and Eunice that were teaching this boy the book? And it answers the question as to how is it that a teenage boy with Jewish heritage wasn't circumcised on the eighth day of his life? I need to talk for a minute, y'all. Sisters, sometimes the decisions that you make in life also have a ripple effect. Next slide. Decisions you make in life can have a ripple effect. Your decisions affect your role in the house. You know, sometimes you look at a sister and you just think, this is superwoman. She's the nurturer, she's the protector, she's the provider, she's the spiritual leader in the home. She's superwoman because she has to be. Because the decisions that she made affect the life that she lives that day. Decisions have a ripple effect on kids. Let's talk about Timothy for a second. Let's say Timothy is sitting down by the lantern. He's learning the Old Testament scriptures, the sacred writings. And he comes across that scripture that says male Jewish men are circumcised on the eighth day of their life. And he knows that he's not circumcised. How does he reconcile that in his mind? Let's say he's reading those scriptures and he comes to the point where God's people stay together under the Old Testament scriptures. And he knows his family doesn't look like that. He has to reconcile that in his mind. Does he ask mama about that? How does he deal with that in his mind? This boy got circumcised as a teen. Got circumcised as a young man. But think about this. He was not circumcised in order to be saved. Because we know that Paul taught against that. Circumcision is not necessary for salvation. And he's got a letter in his hand and someone says that. He wasn't circumcised to be saved. That boy was circumcised so he could fit in to the faith culture that should have been his in the first place. It affects families. It's got ripple effects. It affects you, then it affects the kids. It ripples in. It ripples in to the extended family. How many, I'm going to be careful here because I'm going to make sure I say this. Grandma, love you and the grandkids. Grandpa, love you and the grandkids. Godmother, auntie, family, loves family. And everything they do comes out of love. But how many times have you seen grandparents that were past the age to really be able to raise children? Need to raise them. There are ripple effects into the extended family. Lord, I gotta tell y'all, it was much easier talking to the brothers. But there is a ripple effect, sisters, of your decisions. And the ripple effect can be marvelous if it's a life of faith and it's a life of knowledge of the Word of God and sharing the Word of God. You can only pass on what you have. But it can also, based on decisions, have a negative effect that can ripple through the family. But let me share this with you. Let me share this with you. If you end up in a tough spot in life, go to the next slide. If you end up in a tough spot in life, you can take Sister Eunice as an example in life. Because when you look in the book of 2 Timothy, God did not speak negatively about Sister Eunice. What he talked about was her faith, and he talked about how she taught her youngster the Word of God from an early age. Just because you have a challenge in your life doesn't mean that's your testimony about your life. Come back to the book and your faith. Come back to the book. And come back to your faith, a sincere faith that's the same on Sunday morning as it is the rest of the week. One that's not fake, is not hypocritical, it doesn't matter who's around. Your faith, you walk the talk of the book. When you have to make a tough decision, you have to make a tough decision. The book says one thing and your mind won't take you someplace else, take the book. That builds faith. See, I have to tell you that guy that you're dating that won't work, don't seem like he wants to be much of a provider, sometimes he don't change. I'm not saying that God can't work in life and nothing ever changes. I'm saying that sometimes he don't change. Sometimes that guy who is not spiritual, ain't got no time for church. Sometimes he don't change. Sister, all I'm saying is, all I'm trying to say is, the decisions that you make in your life have a ripple effect. But you can come back to them. You can come back from them. Come back to the book. Come back to your faith. And take some more notes from Eunice, something Eunice did. Did y'all notice that the brethren of the church spoke well of Timothy? Hear what that means. That means that she brought Timothy around the brethren. She made sure those kids, that she made sure that boy was around the church. And sisters, make sure the kids are around the church, to be around spiritual men, to be around faithful men. If it's a young girl, bring her around the church and make sure she's around spiritual women, faithful women. Take another lesson from what Eunice did. Eunice didn't get in the way of the mentor-mentee relationship between Timothy and Paul. She didn't get in the way of that. Allow a spiritual man, faithful spiritual man, in the life of your kids. Allow a faithful spiritual woman in the life of your kids. And maybe if you stay faithful, if you stay with the book, if you live a sincere, faithful life, then the testimony about you will be the ripple effect of your faith going through generations. Brothers and sisters in Christ, friends and guests, sisters, your decisions in your life make a difference in the family. Amen. If you're not a member of the Lord's church, you need to be. You do that by hearing the gospel message that Jesus, the Son of God, came to this world. He lived a sinless life. And he was crucified by the hands of cruel men. But on the third day, he was raised, and he ever lives to intercede for us. You hear that message. You believe it. You repent of your sins. You repent of the way that you, however you used to think about making decisions in your life, use this. Change the way you think. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and then you submit to water baptism for the remission of your sins if you're already a member of the Lord's church. And you need to make some adjustments in your life. You know, this thing that we're talking about, everybody makes a misstep sometimes. Everybody does some things they look back on, and maybe they should have done it a little bit differently. If you already a member of the Lord's church and you want the prayers of the church for strength and wisdom that you walk the book, we'll do that too. So if you like to be baptized, please indicate that on one of the cards. If you like the prayers of the church, please indicate that on one of the cards. If you're visiting with us and you want to be a member here at Wheelis, please mark that on one of your cards as we stand and sing the Savior's invitation.